Somewhere deep within the human heart, we desire to replace what we feel are ugly lies with beautiful promises. If only the lies which pull us down would loosen their grip on us and be replaced by true promises that lift us up.
And that is just one moment from today's Peace and Power Bible Talk with Dr. Jim Coleman. Welcome. Somewhere deep within, each of us desires an inner flow of peace and power that transforms our daily attitudes, relationships, and life decisions. The Bible, God's message to us, teaches us to live in that flow. Remember, the outline of today's talk is available in the show notes, and the full transcript is posted on our website at peaceandpowerpodcast.com. That's peaceandpowerpodcast.com. Now, let's listen for God's guidance in today's Bible talk.
One of my grade school friends, Robbie, was a frustrated young man. His grandmother had stepped in to raise Robbie since his parents' lives were too unstable to care for him. It wasn't difficult to see why Robbie had issues with underlying anger and an anti-authority attitude. That attitude attracted the negative attention of Robbie's classmates, who constantly prodded and teased him. They spoke many wounding words, and I'm sorry to say, even some of his teachers' patience ran thin, and they treated Robbie unfairly, adding unkind words of their own. Some of his classmates and teachers, however, valued Robbie, and in return, they saw a very different side of him, an uncharacteristic softness, even pleasantness and laughter. One of the real tests Robbie faced was whether his thoughts and behavior would be based on those wounding words thrown at him, many of them lies, or if he could believe something different about himself. Whether he would listen to different words, words that lifted him out of his circumstances. Some days he seemed burdened by the lies, and other days he seemed able to hear the other voices that spoke to him of goodness and life. You and I, to some extent, experience the burden of wounding words, even if they are not spoken directly to us, but kind of permeate our society. We have experienced all too much the current negative rhetoric in our culture. Political candidates are told to win elections, you must go negative. They point fingers at each other and call each other liars. And sadly, this seems just as much our fault. We listeners who sometimes relish that negativity. Many Americans currently express they are becoming disillusioned with such negativity. Then in the very next breath, the candidates proclaim promises of what they will do once elected. There are moments when it is clear there is a relationship between these two rhetorics, the rhetoric of pointing out lies and the rhetoric of making promises. This is the connection. Somewhere deep within the human heart, we desire to replace what we feel are ugly lies with beautiful promises. If only the lies which pull us down would loosen their grip on us and be replaced by true promises that lift us up. And that is a good desire. We find ways in our brokenness of warping that desire, of misunderstanding and misusing it, but it is fundamentally a good desire. We should want true promises to overcome deceptive lies. But like Robbie, we must choose to move beyond the lies and pursue true promises. This is David's desire in Psalm 56. Who will David listen to? His enemy's lies or his God's promises? The superscription at the beginning of that psalm gives the context of David's thoughts as he writes it. It says, "A psalm of David regarding the time the Philistines seized him in Gath." So hear now this psalm, Psalm 56. "O God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? They are always twisting what I say. They spend their days plotting to harm me. They come together to spy on me, watching my every step, eager to kill me. Don't let them get away with their wickedness. In your anger, O God, bring them down. You keep track of all of my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, David had already been anointed the next king of Israel by the prophet Samuel. But King Saul was still clutching the throne. Saul is hunting David down to kill him. At one point, David even risks going into enemy territory in Philistia, but he gets captured there. In running from his enemy Saul, David gets captured by his enemies, the Philistines. And finally, he is brought before King Achish of Gath, and David thinks he will be executed. Psalm 56 is the thoughts and prayers that go with David's head and heart during these days. And we will do well to read it carefully, for here David teaches us how promises overcome lies, if and when we choose to embrace those promises. So, David describes that the lies of his Philistine enemies were constant. Verses 1 and 2, O God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. My foes attack me all day long. I am constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. They just never let up, David says. I think they called him names over and over. I think they told him Saul, who he was running from, would never leave the throne. And David's anointing as king was worthless. I think they sneered at David's God, Yahweh, as Goliath did right after David's anointing. And their hate-filled words just kept coming. Contrast this with God's promises to David. God had promised that David would be king. But with King Saul determined to kill David, and now King Achish likely to kill David, it seemed God's promises to him would die with him. In fact, what David can't see is that it would be 15 years before he was free to sit on that throne, before God's promises for him would come true. Could he claim that God keeps his promises even though he could not see that day in the near future? This is called faith, claiming God's promises we cannot yet see. Hebrews 11:1. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So this was not just a test of David's personal fortitude. It is a test of David's faith. Can his faith withstand the rising sense of fear in his gut? Remember, it was his fear that ran him from who he thought was his worst enemy, Saul, right into the hands of his next enemy, the Philistines. Maybe fear was actually his greatest enemy. So he must reach down deep into his faith. Verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4, But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God. What a declaration of faith. David knows that his only hope to overcome the real fear of this real threat is trusting in God's real promises. Another specific promise from God that David claims here is the promise of God's power. Verse 4, I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? God is more powerful, says David, than David's enemies. In fact, in this story, God's power works creatively in David's mind. David has an idea, I believe a God-given idea, to pretend that he has lost his mind. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 12 through 15, when King Achish sees David acting out of his mind, the king thinks it's unnecessary to kill him. Just let this crazy guy go. He will surely never become king of Israel. Now, it could also be that David knows King Achish doesn't believe that he is crazy. But King Achish knows David is acting. And still, King Achish does not want to kill, but to protect David. Later, David is actually a friend of that king. Either way, what an idea! I love to watch painters paint and musicians play and actors act because they give us glimpses of the creative power of their creator. Inventors give us the same glimpse. God is the source of creativity. And God inspires David in this moment of fear to think creatively. Listen to David's other description in verses 5 through 6 of the lies that he must deal with. They are always twisting what I say. They spend their days plotting to harm me. They come together to spy on me, watching my every step, eager to kill me. The other promise David claims, as these insults are hurled at him, is God's justice. He is suffering an injustice, and God sees injustice, and God can stop this injustice. Here he declares, "Don't let them get away with their wickedness. In your anger, O God, bring them down." We don't know why God does not always stop injustice. Someday, all injustice will be judged. But, like David, we should affirm God's justice, call on God's justice, be comforted by knowing that God will never be unjust, and someday will end injustice. This affirmation consoles us in our sorrow over injustice. Remember, God told Moses, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey." Exodus 3:7-8. David expressed it in this way, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." Even in ancient times, tear bottles were used to collect tears of sorrow as a remembrance of grief. In some cultures, the tear bottle would later be uncorked, and when the tears had evaporated, it was appropriate that the period of formal grief be ended. Some people still use tear bottles today. David pictures the Lord collecting his tears of injustice and comforting him. How God's promise of justice comforts us in sorrow and gives us hope. Then it is as if David smiles, takes a deep breath, his voice strengthened, and he declares God's promise of confidence at the end of verse 9. "This I know, God is on my side." This reminds us of Paul's great declaration in Romans 8:38-39. "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord." How do we claim that love, Paul describes? By putting our faith in Christ Jesus. A part of David's confidence is that God will provide him a way of escape from this life-threatening situation. Here David declares, "My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help." This God of justice, who had called David to be king of Israel, could provide a way of escape. And we saw that David used that portrayal of insanity to become one of those ways of escape. A recent hurricane hit the United States, and maybe you heard some of the 911 calls of those caught in that flooding. If so, you heard that the 911 dispatchers first try to determine how the caller might escape. Is there a tree to climb, a bridge to hang on to? In our times of testing, our God offers to show us a way out. What a promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so that you can endure. David confidently praises God for this promise and all of those other promises that he has affirmed. Verse 10, I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. No wonder David's ice-cold fear is melting. He's now more confident of God's promises within him than the lies around him. He repeats the faith he declared earlier. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? This is the way God intends for us to live. Not in fear, yet also not with some kind of religious arrogance, but a godly confidence. Confidence that God's promises overcome all lies. Listen to David's final words in this 56th Psalm. I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. Life, declares David, is about living confidently. God gives life-giving light. I've shared with you before that during my teenage years, my favorite Christian magazine was published by Back to the Bible and was called Confident Living. How I wish it was still in print today. It was full of solid biblical teaching and wisdom. It always edified and uplifted me and reminded me that to live for Jesus, God's greatest promise, and to live in the Holy Spirit, God's greatest power, was to live confidently. No matter the fears that would come, faith and comfort and confidence was available to us. Even before Jesus, God poured this confidence into David's life. Imagine the confidence the Holy Spirit gives to us now. It is a promise, a true promise within us that can overcome all lies around us. With David, let us praise God for the promise of faith, the promise of comfort, and the promise of confident living. Hear this peace and power principle. Faith living is confident living.
Thank you for listening to the Peace and Power podcast, and we invite you to subscribe to hear the next upcoming Bible talk. Again, our website is peaceandpowerpodcast.com, and our prayer is that God's Word has brought you a greater sense of a supernatural flow of God's peace and power in your life.